Happy Easter, everyone. I've had a little bit of sugar. Because I am super excited for all those that came out bright and early this morning as we very coldly welcomed the dawn gathered on the labyrinth. As stubborn Chris said, no, we need to listen to the birds sing. And then we shared breakfast and give great thanks for the many hands that have created that meal for us. We give thanks for the profound amount of work that has gone into today's service for the choir and Allison, and especially to Alan Bear, who will play through all of service with us, and we give thanks to him sharing his gifts with us. This will be a celebration of life and love today, and we give thanks for that. As we move through the service, there's plenty of announcements in the bulletin, but you won't have time to read them because there's lots going on. There is one thing that did not make it into the bulletin, and I want to share this with you. As we're sharing life, in the midst of death, we do so with heavy hearts, sharing the news of the death of Harold Johnston. Some of you may not know that name, but if I say the Candyman, Harold was a longtime member here at the church, and if he came up to you, he'd shake your hand with a candy in it. And so we give thanks for Harold's life, for the love that he shared with Gladys. We will remember Harold's life in June in a service celebrating his life, but we keep Gladys and Sandy and Scott and their whole family in our prayer today, because in the midst of death, we do celebrate the life that is with us. We celebrate the life that persists, the life that is brighter than any dawn, the life that is stronger than any death, the life of Jesus the Christ with us now, forever and ever. Amen.
We were weighed down walking to the tomb. We knew the way, for we had walked it 2 days before. We had followed Joseph of Arimathea and his servant down the hill from Golgotha, their arms straining with the dead weight of Jesus' body.
We saw where they laid him, how they wrapped him in linen, We saw their shoulders pushing that stone in place, the sound of it grinding shut.
And though our eyes streamed tears, we marked the place, for we knew we would come back.
And on the first day of the week, we came, arms full of aromatic oils and spices, cinnamon, cassia, myrrh, all our resources pooled in a fragrant offering.
One last service for Jesus.
We walked the dark path, the sky just beginning to lighten.
What we saw in the semi-darkness was not the closed tomb we had expected, but instead, the stone pushed aside.
Alarmed, we looked inside and saw not Jesus' body, but instead a young man dressed all in white.
We asked, more shouting than inquiring, "Who are you? What did you do with his body?"
Was he a grave robber, here to commit some final act of blasphemy against our Savior? Had Pilate changed his mind? And was Jesus' corpse now hanging somewhere for all to see? He spoke, and his voice was filled with comfort.
"Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
They left, but I remained, gathering up all those spices, my tears dropping on the ground. "He has been raised. He is not here." I turned and looked again in the tomb, but this time there was not darkness, but light. In the light, through my tears, the boy who had been sitting there was no longer there. And behind me, I heard my name in a voice I'd almost forgotten.
"Mary."
"Jesus. Not dead, not cold, not lifeless, not gone forever. Jesus, alive, before me, talking, looking in my eyes. My heart about stopped as I reached out to hold him, to see if he was real, touchable, Jesus in the flesh. He talked of my God and your God, and suddenly it was real to me. It was not God far away, not God not listening, but God present, God doing impossible things, God making morning miracles out of death's darkness. Jesus asked me to go and tell the others. I threw the spices on the ground, no need of them now, and I started running, my feet moving faster than they'd ever moved. Beautiful with good news, I have seen the Lord, but they will not believe me. I have seen the Lord."
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Please join me in the call to worship this morning. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
We'll invite the children to come forward. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's it going?
This one's squishy.
That one's squishy? That's okay. Maybe you a squishy one?
Or maybe just squishy chocolate.
How's everybody doing? Did anybody find anything in their pews or on the way up?
Nope. I found one.
You found one? What is it?
It's an Easter egg.
It's an Easter egg? Did anybody else find Easter eggs? What? Wait a minute. Hold on. Keep coming, kids. Nevaeh found something else. Nice and loud, Nevaeh. I'm going to get a microphone for this.
Hello.
Hello. Talking to this one. I know it works. What did you find, Nevaeh?
A grape.
You found a grape? What kind of cruel Easter bunny would wrap up in the foil, discard the chocolate, and put a grape there? Does anybody know what today is? Easter? It's another day. It's April 1st. What's April 1st? April Fool's Day. Oh. So we have one grape. Did any other grapes show up? Nobody else opened the chocolates. Well, Nevaeh, the blessing of Easter is not about April Fools. Jesus didn't pop out of the grave and say, "April Fools!" He didn't do that. Jesus took a really, really sad moment, such as opening a grape, and made it even better. Now you're going to look for the grapes. But I wanted to show you something because I came into church this morning and I found the Bible like this. Can someone read it for me?
Do not open till Easter.
Because the story of Jesus' resurrection comes from the Bible. It's a story we've been telling one another for years and years and years about the magical mystery of God's life, because all of a sudden, they rolled back the stone in front of Jesus' tomb, thinking that he was dead, and something amazing happened. That totally worked! Something amazing happened. Life came out of the tomb. Jesus, who they thought was dead, sprung to life.
I'm alive.
And he told his friends, "Do not be afraid. Because in the midst of death, I am life." Have you ever seen a chrysalis with a butterfly inside? It kind of looks dead. And yet all of a sudden, something pops out of it. I think I have enough. Good luck, Sunday school. You may have to put them on the edge while you have Sunday school. We have to make sure everybody gets one. Okay. You got one? Good, good. Ian. Oh. Whee! Who am I missing? Nigel, there we go. All right, everybody, someone has two? All right, can I borrow one? We have to make sure everyone, at least the families get one. You guys have one? There we go, bud, there we go. So what you do, you twirl it lots, okay? Twirl it, hold the butterfly tail and twirl it lots. Yep, keep going. Twirl it lots and lots and lots. And then all of a sudden, you let it go.
Hey, Mom, it won't.
And that life springs up all around you. That's what happens at springtime. It happens with Easter. Here, let me hook that back up. And that life of Jesus comes back into our lives and reminds us that even though we experience sadness, that we do not need to be afraid. And so we're going to pray. And this is a repeat after me prayer. This is a repeat after me prayer. Loving God, thank you for life as it surprises us with beauty and color. Help us to not be afraid. Amen. We are going to share in communion now. Now that I've put both chocolate into your hands and a toy, I'm going to invite you to go back to your seats with your parents, grandparents, those who brought you, those who love you, those who will hold you lovingly as we share in our traditional communion service. And I'll invite you to turn in your bulletin to that. Absolutely, right after communion. I think that's what we're doing next, right? All right. Come on up. What I love is that murmuring energy. Because that's the energy that was present when Christ resurrected. In the joy and in the excitement of the women's hearts, they ran back to tell the story and were not believed. And others experienced the risen Christ and they were not believed. And that joy and excitement kept spilling out of them. And we give thanks for that. And so let us turn in our bulletins as we bring our own excitement to this act of communion as we give thanks for the life that comes to us.
God is with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God. Let us give thanks to God, our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise. It is truly right that we thank you and we praise you, God, most holy, creator of all, for
we are not alone.
We live in God's world.
We live in your world. We live in your creation, in all of its wonder, in all of its life.
We believe in God,
who has created and is creating.
In your love, with your word, by your spirit, you brought all things into being. In your love, with your word, by your spirit, you bring all things into being. With that creation, you live entangled and entwined with all people, all places, all things.
We believe in you, who has come in Jesus, the word made flesh.
To reconcile and make new.
In so many ways, in so many times and places, you spoke your words, calling us into deeper covenant with you, calling us back into your love. Through prophets and priests, grandparents and children, teachers and preachers and voices in the wilderness, you called us again and again. And then, in Jesus, the Word made flesh, we encountered you in a new way. In his love, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, Jesus, Christ, brought all creation, all of us, into right relationship with you again and forever. Hallelujah.
We believe in you,
who works in us and others by the Spirit.
Spirit of the Creator, Spirit of the Christ, Holy Spirit, love divine, you live in us and with us, turning our lives and our world upside down with hope, with wonder, with challenge, and with love. And we cannot help but sing.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Yet trust leads us to difficult places. Trust led Jesus to the waters of baptism and then into the wilderness of temptation. Trusting in you, Jesus comforted the afflicted and afflicted the comfortable. Trusting in you, Jesus challenged societal norms, honoring women, children, and all those forgotten by ancient culture. This is how Jesus taught of church.
We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence.
And so, as disciples of Christ, seeing God's presence everywhere, we live with respect in creation.
To be the church, we are to love and serve others. Help us to love and serve with all we are, with all that you, O God, enable us to do and be.
To be the church, we are to seek justice and resist evil.
Help us to do more than stand and wait. Help us to act rightly in the face of wrong, and to not stand by as crucifixions take place daily.
To be the church, we are to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. Here we sing of the mystery of our faith.
On the night that he was to be taken to what would be his death on a cross, Jesus gathered with his disciples for a meal of remembrance, a meal of hope, and a meal of challenge. As the disciples gathered, he served them, washing their feet. As the disciples ate, he taught them, helping them to understand what would come. As the disciples raged and disbelieved, he loved them. Even knowing he would be betrayed, even knowing he would be abandoned, he took bread and broke it and gave thanks to you, God of all creation. Then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. Each time you eat, remember me.
In life, in death, in life beyond death. He took wine, poured it, and gave thanks to you, God of all creation. Then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This, take this, all of you, and drink it. This is my promise in my life's blood, that my love flows through you. Each time you drink, remember me."
God is with us. We are not alone.
Holy God, send your Spirit upon this bread, this cup, and all who are gathered, that they and we might truly be the body and blood of Jesus Christ alive in your creation.
Thanks be to God. Singing Amen.
Today we will be serving communion traditionally. The plates will come to you in the pew. You're invited to receive it, receive the bread, and hold it as you would hold the brightest, dearest treasure of your life, holding it to the very end until we pass the juice and we will eat and drink together. If you can't wait, if you have the joy and excitement of children in you and a little bit too much sugar, eat. Rejoice and know that you are loved in God's creation. Together we will share in this communion. As you pass the plate to one another, you're invited to say the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, the bread of life, the cup of blessing. Say words that are common to you, that have meaning to you, or merely share a moment. Smile and offer this blessing to one another. For these are the gifts of God, meant for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thank you.
This is the bread of life, the body of Christ.
Why is it too cute?
the cup of blessing. For we give thanks that at this table we have been fed. We give thanks for the joy and the life and the love that we find here as we sing, as we send our children off to Sunday school, as we rejoice for the gifts found here. Let us sing number 467, One Bread, One Body. We will continue in worship with our minute for mission.
Access to safe water. Our gifts for mission and service provide water. Water is a gift of God and a fundamental human right. Getting water remains a grueling chore for many in the global South, who may spend much of their day hauling water from distant sources to meet their family's needs. Access to water affects every part of daily life. Mission and Service partner People's Action Forum is working hard to address these challenges in rural Zambia. From 2015 to 2016, People's Action Forum tripled the number of boreholes it was able to drill from 10 to 30. It says the list of needy communities is always longer than what can be provided in any given year. Every single additional well that can be provided keeps a community from waiting another whole year on the waiting list. Boreholes are often drilled close to community hubs like schools, making access as broad as possible. Near the town of Mambo Chipo, the primary school has 620 children enrolled. Head teacher Frida Kafudi talks about the positive difference a borehole drilled by People's Action Forum has made. Before the borehole was drilled, staff and students had a 4-kilometer walk to the closest water supply. Now students have ready access to safe drinking water and have been able to establish small vegetable gardens for the school feeding program. Frida says these are vulnerable children. They live in poverty, which makes the school's feeding program crucial. Education will give them a chance for a better life. The borehole, she added, is helping the school serve that most important purpose. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you've not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of mission and service.
The scripture reading this morning is found in Mark 16, verses 9 through 15. Now after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe her. After this, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation." Thanks be to God.
The secret of our faith is experienced today. While I've written a 40-minute sermon and left you lots of chocolate for compensation. No. We may not understand today. We might try to wrap our scientific, rational minds around it, but it doesn't matter. New life and resurrection is felt in every moment of our lives, and we miss it in the telling of Jesus' life, in the resurrection he offers to those he experiences. In the people he goes to and he heals, he resurrects them from their lives that they had abandoned. When they had to move to the side of their life, they were forgotten by family and friends, and Jesus coming along brought them back into community. When we talk about resurrection, we think the wounds and the cross and all of that. But those who experience endings will know new beginnings. The power of the resurrection story means that those who are unemployed will find new work. Those whose relationships have failed will love again. Those who have lived as refugees will find new homes. Those whose bodies are destroyed by disease will be healed. Those who cannot walk will leap for joy. Those who experience death will know life. As Easter people, whose own rational and scientific minds struggle with the gaps in biblical understanding, we have to live as if resurrection's around the corner because it happens all the time without us even noticing. And so may you be a bearer of good news. Even though the world won't believe you, even though they'll struggle to understand what it means, may you bear this resurrection for all to see as a promise and a hope that God is at work in yours and our lives together. For this is the God of new life we serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Yeah, that was really short, eh? The whole sermon is at the back. I'm wondering if we could sing verse 1 and 4 of Jesus Christ is Risen Today. You'll find it on 155.
Will now be received. As Alan and Allison play for us, just be prepared. They're going to play the hymn number 282, and you'll hear it as the offering's being taken up, and we'll sing verse 4 and 5 when they get to that point.
For this ancient love, this aching love, rolls on through us, rolls on out of our being into this world that it might bring love to heal the places of brokenness. So may these gifts of love do this in the name of God, this God of new life who comes to us again and again. We pray this. Amen. So let us pray. In amongst the chaos of today, the silence of the women going to the tomb, the worries of their heart, the wonders if you should really come to church today because it's usually a long service, the stress of your life, the death, and the brokenness and the worries that have followed you here. In amongst all of that, God speaks a word of life to you. For Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And that gift of life comes to you. And so that together we say and pray with confidence the words of Christ as it unites us today, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us close singing the final verse, number 4, verse 4 of 186. This place as bearers of new life. Go into a world that will not believe you, but go unrelentingly and tell of resurrection. For it brings you new life this day, and it brings this world new joy. For Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Please be seated.